Hi everyone, SaneMan here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Bob, also known as Dr. Be Real, the author of the two-volume book series called Surviving Fourth Wave Feminism. This is my review of his first chapter in his second volume. If you want to get a copy as well as one of the books from today's sponsor, Luca Vendetti, both links are down below. Now on with my review. This chapter is called Everything is Sexist, Feminists Competing for the Status of the Biggest Victim. The first three words are, everything is sexist, and it makes me think of Anita Sarkeesian. Bob says that feminism is all about redistributing money from men who work to women who don't, by painting women as victims. Each wave of feminism needs to adapt to keep the donations rolling in. That's why if everything is sexist, then the gravy train into cavernous feminist vaginas will never end. He brings up Daisy Cousins, his fellow Australian woman, who says that feminism is not about liberating women, but it's about controlling them to attack the actual independent and liberated women, the conservative ones. But I don't think he's aware that conservative women are almost as bad as feminist women because they're just nice covert slave masters, instead of women that just want to overly control us. He then brings up the hierarchy of female victim status, that a white woman is a victim, but that a black woman is a greater victim, that a black female trans midget is the winner of the oppression Olympics. The more a woman is a victim, the more she needs to get paid by men. But with fourth wave feminism, men can now be women and say they have a vagina so they can actually compete in the oppression Olympics as well as female athletes in the actual Olympics. And to prevent them from doing so is sexist, because now they're the biggest victims of all. That's when Bob brings up Anita Sarkeesian and says that she's one of the prime examples of women making a living off the business of fourth wave feminism. That may have been true about 5 years ago, but based on looking at her YouTube channel, Feminist Frequency, she probably makes roughly $400 to $500 a month in ad revenue from it. She used to make $500,000 to $1 million back in the day and released videos that might have actually taken her only a month or two to research and produce. Bob also says that feminism is all about redistributing wealth from predominantly white males and handing it off to everyone else below them on the oppression pyramid. Everything is sexist, including air conditioning, because women feel more cold than men do. Airbags are sexist because women sit closer to the steering wheel. And even the truth can be sexist because it can hurt a woman's fifis. I'll discuss more in a moment. But let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor that I mentioned earlier, the MGTOW Book Collection Part 2. Whether you're getting camel toe in Cambodia, banging babes in burkas in Turkey, or taking Polaroids of ladyboys in Thailand, Luca Vendetti has a series of books to make you live the dream. His new three-booklet series includes How to Live on $500 a Month in Cambodia, Turkey, and Vietnam, in addition to his classic, How to Retire on 200K in Southeast Asia. He also has the MGTOW book. Visit MGTOWBooks.com and use the promo code SANDMAN to get 10% off. Now available in four formats, PDF, MOBI for Kindle, EPUB, and text-to-speech MP3. Sponsor link is down below. Anyways, now back to men can have vaginas because they're just a social construct clown world show. Bob continues by saying that meritocracy is also sexist, because a vagina is more important than a business return. History is sexist because men invented everything without giving women a chance to do it first. Wah! National anthems, too, because they don't reference women enough, and even retirement funds in Bitcoin, because men make more money investing in those things, too. His list goes on for 15 pages and gives you about 100 things that are sexist. I'll point out maybe 20 or 30 that I find the funniest or most interesting. The next point of note is women complaining about sex dolls and objectifying women and that the female doll is a victim because she can't give consent. Monogamy is also sexist because it denies women sex with other people, hence why we're seeing the social acceptance of polyamory lately. But if a woman has multiple boyfriends and someone says something about it, then they're slut-shaming her and they need to be punished. Some of these points are also kind of contradictory. For example, if a kid has a father, it's sexist because women can do it alone. But if some poor child is being raised by only his mother, then some poor simp out there needs to step up his game and marry that poor woman and give that child a proper childhood. Did you also know that your bookshelf is probably sexist too? Because it contains more books written by men rather than women. The same goes for art galleries because there are more male pieces hanging on the walls. Recently, we've been seeing galleries deciding to buy more art from minority artists and females. The next one that made me laugh was toys, because girls like dolls and boys like trucks. My favorite toy line from the 1980s, G.I. Joe, the feminists try to destroy it with the latest film, with no white male characters. even turning Snake Eyes into an Asian man. But the reason it's the top-selling line of all time is because it combines dolls with trucks. 60% of males prefer machines to people. The other 40% prefer action figures. G.I. Joe caters to both groups. Plus, it also has strong, empowered female, black, and Asian characters, which doesn't lend itself well to being attacked by feminists all that much. The Miss America pageant is also sexist, because it forced women to wear bikinis until that was changed recently. Climate change is sexist too because men drive more than women do. But of course they don't mention that women make up the majority of spending decisions from that man's money after he makes money driving around. A lot of the points Bob makes were actually topics I covered from articles in the past, so he is certainly doing his research and staying up to date. His next point is that seagulls are sexist, and get this, it's the patriarchy's fault. Apparently seagulls have learned that when they swoop down at women and try and peck at them, they're more likely to drop their food and run away, giving the seagulls access to a feminist buffet. I'd absolutely love to see the article that story came from. Apparently attractive men are also sexist because they refuse to buy drinks for women because women will still go after them. Those Chad and seagull examples are just an example of nature finding a way to exploit women. When women don't get the perfect outcome, they're always the victim. Here's a quick example in real life proving everything is sexist. One woman I work with said that she sent me an email with instructions for some work I needed to do, but I didn't get it. When I caught her in a lie, she said, "It looks like your computer is acting up again." Then she said, "Why do men have to make computers that break down so often and make them so hard to use?" Even then, if women can't blame men, they blame technology or the government. They start blaming others. Mostly men, because they're trying to hack our biology. A woman slaps you and cries out in pain because she hurt her hand on your jaw. She gets fat and blames a hormonal disorder instead of her own gluttony. Eventually, if you hear this insanity enough, you just stop caring. I know that I certainly have, unless it affects me directly. I didn't even bother correcting that woman with the so-called email problem because I didn't want to listen to her make up yet another sexist comment and excuse. Bob continues by saying that student debt is sexist because more women than men have it. Of course, this discounts the fact that more women than men also have college degrees. Notice how you didn't hear about women complaining about canceling student loan debt when it was mostly males that had it. He also shares a story about a flight attendant that didn't want to put on her cute little uniform and threatened to hold up the airplane for 10 minutes. The truth is that women say everything is sexist until something sticks, and then they keep going and going and trying to shift the goalposts so they can take more power away from men in society. Eventually, smart men just start checking out into female-free zones, where they work without women around, and then women end up calling that sexist too. Recently, I started hearing stories about women entering electrical work and electrocuting themselves. They didn't like that it was mostly a male-dominated field, so they went into it to police male behavior. And it looks like Nikola Tesla is also part of the patriarchy, because if it weren't for him, they would basically still have some of their limbs after that electrocution. I'll hurry through the rest of the points. Everything, including the sexy clickbait that I use for these thumbnails in my videos, is sexist. Hollywood, television, society, femininity, masculinity, writing, and non-writing are sexist too. Even feminism is sexist because most people just don't support it. A man explaining something to a woman is sexist mansplaining, but a man not explaining something to a woman, especially if she's a coworker, means he's being sexist and not mentoring her. Women set the rules in opposition, and many men smarten up and walk away from the game. But guess what? That's sexist too, based on the mentoring statement that I just made. Apparently in Australia, the land of the COVID internment camp, women need to have a shorter 34-hour work week while men need to continue working for 47 hours, and both need to be paid the same amount, because that would be fair. If something like this were ever to be implemented, millions of men would just quit and find work in different fields, like construction and renovations, and then just jack up the prices on women that they service. Apparently being thin is also sexist. That means that a 200-pound woman promoted in advertising is sexist too, to all the 300-pound women out there that aren't seeing themselves being represented. That's why you see so many ads with fat women with different shapes and sizes from different races. The company advertising is probably trying to cover all of its big butt bases. A man sitting like a man is man-sitting and therefore sexist. But a woman sitting with her legs crossed should be encouraged to spread her legs to provide enough room for her labia. Blackboards are racist because calling a chalkboard black is racist, don't you know? I barely got through half this chapter, and I know it's a good start to the second half of this book series, because I bring up so many of his valid points in my reviews, because usually there aren't enough from most writers. But here's a chapter I can't read to completion and comment about, and Bob has already made dozens of awesome points. The next part of the chapter, about 40% of the way in, Bob brings up what I pointed out earlier, that women are taking advantage of the male biological drive to protect women and exploiting it. The men are obedient dogs that do as they're told, but if you torment a dog long enough, eventually he turns on you and bites you. The question should be, when is a man's breaking point, and when does he bite back? Bob also points out that men's weakness is children, and then women exploit this too. Until you've been in a situation where a woman has tried to get you to get her pregnant so she can trap you, you've never seen how wicked they can truly be. Women also manipulate men by using an upset appearance, and he shows a fat Australian senator named Sarah Hanson-Young, where she's losing control in Parliament with emotional outbursts instead of trying to make her point rationally. She starts crying and pulls out the victim card whenever she's being questioned. Another senator, David Leyenholm, questioned her for making man-hating statements and told her that if she hates men so much, she should stop sleeping with them, implying that she was a slut. She lost it and got the leftist feminist media against him. I had no idea how crazy things were in the land of Oz. Australia has fallen to fatties. She took him to court for defamation and crowdsourced her attack, and he crowdsourced his defense. Australia's Channel 10, a left-wing man-hating network, demonized him. She also used the victim card of being a single mother in her favor and forced her daughter to tell the world on television that her mother doesn't have a lot of boyfriends, i.e. she doesn't ride the kangaroo cock carousel. What women are doing is not much different than what the government is doing to take away our liberties one step at a time, through the medical emergency that we see all around us right now. Jordan Peterson brings it up the best, and I've actually shared a short clip of his in the description, showing that you take rights away from people one little bit at a time. Think of fourth wave feminism as just one step in a number of smaller steps to slowly erode men's power and give it to women. Unfortunately, women will just burn civilization down with that power. The rest of the chapter covers the crazy story of Serena Williams, where she went nuts at the US Tennis Open. I'll let you guys read that for yourselves. I really enjoyed this chapter, and the link to this book purchase on Amazon, along with Luca Vendetti's, is in the description. Anyways, that's it for today. Thanks again to Dr. B Real for the donation and topic. Don't forget to smash the like button the way that a fat female Australian senator tried to smash into everyone's head that she doesn't ride the kangaroo carousel by getting her daughter to tell everyone that she's not a slut. Bang the bell and check out the mystery link. Follow me on BitChute, Twitter, and Facebook to get tomorrow's video today. Subscribe to me on Minds, Odyssey, and MGTOW.TV to get the video for the day after tomorrow. This channel's been demonetized, and if you want to help me keep making content, then please support me through Subscribestar. There's a link to it in the description. Or you can do an hour-long coaching chat with the Sandman for $45, and I won't rush you out the door like a cheap whore. Thanks for taking your daily dose of red pills, and remember, a red pill a day keeps women using the excuse that everything is sexist so they can take more and more power away. So enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers.